In the shadows of religious purity lies a tale that has captivated millions. Jesse Hall's controversial bestseller explores the darkest corners of desire, revenge, and liberation, becoming a cultural phenomenon with hashtag ThatSickLove trending across social media. What makes this story so compelling isn't just its explicit content, but how it forces us to question the institutions we trust and the desires we suppress in the name of righteousness. At its heart lies the journey of Bryony Strait, a 20-year-old woman raised in a strict religious community, whose carefully constructed world unravels when she discovers a blood-red rosebud in her trash can, the calling card of a mysterious stalker named Arrow. As the first female Magnus Princeps of her church, Bryony represents feminine purity, but her appointment breaks centuries of tradition, exposing deep-seated misogyny masked as religious doctrine. The novel meticulously exposes how religious authority figures use scripture to justify abuse and maintain control. Bishop Caldwell, celebrated for his charitable works, has been sexually abusing young boys, including Arrow, in his childhood. His position allows him to manipulate both scripture and church policy to silence victims. The deacon attempts to drown Bryony during her baptism, an act he later justifies as cleansing the church of corruption. Saint Westwood, the golden boy destined to become bishop, undermines Bryony's position while publicly praising her appointment as God's will. What makes this critique particularly powerful is the contrast between external religious performance and internal moral bankruptcy. Characters quote scripture while plotting murder, condemn sexual impurity while engaging in exploitation, and preach forgiveness while holding generational grudges. Through Bryony's awakening, we see how institutions designed to protect can become the most dangerous threats when power corrupts their leadership. Isn't this the most insidious form of betrayal, when those who claim to speak for God use that authority to serve themselves? "I'm your God now," Arrow declares, establishing tension between religious authority and darker devotion. His methodical stalking aims not just to control Bryony, but to awaken her power. Each rosebud symbolizes potential cut short, mirroring how Bryony's true self has been stunted by religious oppression. Arrow's obsession stems from trauma. As Callum Westwood's illegitimate son, he was rejected and sexually abused by Bishop Caldwell. His fixation on Bryony comes from recognizing a kindred spirit, another stain the church would erase. Their relationship evolves from stalker-victim to mentor-student to equals united against common enemies. When Arrow tells Bryony, "I'd bleed out for you, I'd kill anyone so you could live," he expresses devotion in the only language his damaged psyche understands. Can obsession be redemptive? Can someone broken by violence use that same violence to protect another? These uncomfortable questions haunt every interaction between the protagonists. Bryony's journey from obedient church daughter to vengeful force of nature represents one of the novel's most compelling arcs. Her transformation is about claiming agency in a world designed to deny her power. As the first female Magnus Princeps, she initially believes she can work within the system, only to discover it's designed to keep women subordinate. The novel exposes religious double standards through incidents like Erin being labeled the town whore while her male partner escapes judgment, a pivotal moment in Bryony's understanding of patriarchal power. Arrow calls Bryony his doll, yet encourages her strength. "I am yours as much as you are mine," he tells her, suggesting equality despite their power imbalance. His goal isn't control, but empowerment. "It was never my job to protect you." By the novel's end, Bryony orchestrates the downfall of corrupt church leadership, declaring, "I'm not an object. You don't own me." Her liberation comes from recognizing how we internalize controlling narratives, even from those who claim to love us. Sex in this narrative functions as a weapon, tool for manipulation, form of communication, and path to reclamation. Bryony's sexual awakening parallels her growing awareness of corruption, her body revealing truths her mind hasn't yet accepted. The encounters between Bryony and Arrow evolve with their changing power dynamics. Initially, Arrow dominates completely, using transgressive sex in confession booths, involving religious artifacts, mixing pleasure with pain to break down Bryony's religious conditioning. As she grows confident, she uses sexuality strategically, seducing Saint for information and performing as a stripper to infiltrate the club where Arrow is being tortured. By the conclusion, she's able to dominate Arrow sexually, helping him reclaim his body from childhood abuse. The novel explores darker aspects of desire, with both protagonists aroused by violence and control. When Bryony says, "Destroy my purity, Arrow, dirty me with your demons," she's rejecting the framework that defined her worth through sexual purity. In a world where institutions use sexuality as control, reclaiming it, especially in its most transgressive forms, becomes a radical act. Both protagonists carry deep psychological wounds. Arrow's childhood sexual abuse leaves him unable to accept gentle touch without flashbacks, requiring pain before pleasure as a control mechanism. Bryony's trauma manifests through the erosion of selfhood via religious indoctrination that taught her to deny desires and submit to authority. The novel explores how trauma survivors recreate familiar dynamics for a sense of control. Arrow's need to dominate stems from childhood powerlessness. His use of religious language to manipulate Bryony mirrors how Bishop Caldwell manipulated him, showing how trauma patterns repeat generationally. Healing begins when Bryony recognizes Arrow's triggers. "I recite scripture as my fingers explore Arrow's body, working to rewrite his past with gentle touches." Their breakthrough comes from facing trauma together. The novel offers no easy solutions. Both remain damaged at the story's conclusion. However, they found someone who understands their specific brokenness. We're violently ripped from the same dirtied cloth. Their unconventional relationship provides mutual recognition their previous worlds denied them. That Sick Love questions whether two broken people can save each other when protective systems have failed. By embracing their darkness, Bryony and Arrow forge identities beyond social expectations. Their connection isn't conventional romance, but recognition of similar wounds and capacity for both violence and tenderness. When Arrow says, "I love you," it follows Bryony helping him reclaim his trauma-scarred body. "I love you with every echoed beat of my dark and hollowed heart." Their love exists outside normal boundaries. A connection like ours isn't meant for love stories. It's tragic and tarnished, full of dark desires that tradition cannot contain. The novel's ambiguous ending leaves them as fugitives, perpetrators of extreme violence, bound in sick love. Yet there's liberation in choosing to exist on their own terms. "I don't care how we got here," Bryony reflects. "All that matters is this man who's slithering his way into my heart, controlling its every beat." Perhaps the novel's most provocative suggestion is that authentic connection and personal truth are worth any price, even if it appears as obsession to others. Sometimes damaged souls recognize each other in ways the undamaged never could.